From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio. The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm your host, Marianne Rose. You are about to embark on a relevant and timely journey of thought with registered psychologist, Dr. Cyrus Dirksen. Thank you for tuning in and expect to be enlightened right now.
Hey there, Cyrus.
Hey, Marianne.
Oh, it's so good to see you today.
Good to see you too.
Thanks. So we're still in summer.
Yes.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, beautiful day.
We talked about how I was waiting for my yard to get done, and it's now done.
Yay. Changes your life.
Yeah.
You can go into your backyard and just enjoy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So just so everybody knows, there is a peace at the end of the struggle when you are waiting, waiting on the world to change. Oh, man, you can get there.
It feels sometimes like it will never come, right? Like you can't. And then is it worth it, all the work? And it's nice to be at the end on the other side.
Yes. On to the next project. This feels too surreal.
Yes.
I love to plan and think about creating things and design and all those things to do with having a home. It's just been a real blessing, and I'm really grateful for it, but it's also been a real challenge. And I think I've even heard of some people who they get bored. There's a friend of mine, she had like 6 house flips.
Oh, wow.
And then they finally got to this one where when they had finished it, they felt so much peace. Because it was finally all the things that they thought they wanted through all of those flips. And it just got a little step better and a little step better and a little step. And then they landed.
It was actually learning for them and creating. And she did get there.
Yeah.
Wow. Because you start to believe it's never going to happen, right? Like, oh, maybe I'm just somebody who's never happy or satisfied or something. And maybe that's not true.
No, it's not true. But it's also a state of mind. And I know that it's really important to try just to be right where you are. Which leads well to the conversation that I wanted to have today, was to develop spiritual sensitivity. That's an important part of it right there, is to look at your present moment and be okay. Your present moment might not be okay.
Right, but still to be able to have peace, right, in all of those experiences and challenges. And then to be spiritually aware. I mean, I think our culture, our society, I think we've become extremely insensitive to spirituality in general.
Yeah.
And to our detriment, I think. I think we've lost a lot of awareness. And I think we've lost a lot of wisdom and ability to make good decisions and to see things where it's like, oh, if I just use logic, this makes sense or whatever. But then if you don't have a spiritual compass, a spiritual sensitivity, you lose something.
Another way that we could word this that might bring some understanding to people who perhaps aren't using the word spiritual would be energy. And so you'll notice when somebody has a disruptful energy, there's a driving force underneath that that's often connected to spirit, or is very simply connected, because we are spirit beings. But this thing about being able to gauge your energy when another person's energy is different than yours.
Right.
Whether good or bad.
Right.
How are you?
Well, I mean, many of us aren't aware of what other people are feeling or thinking, or we're numb to it, or we just either don't perceive it or don't think about it in our reality. We kind of think about it as being circumstance, where it's like, oh, this person may be upset, but it's a circumstance. It might just be their energy. It might just be their emotions. It might be their spiritual sense of what's going on. And it might be important to address that rather than the problem that's in front of you. It might actually be more important to be aware of where the other person is and address that first.
And you may have encounters where you know that the other energy is uncomfortable, and perhaps you're not in that zone. And so sometimes it's just very off-putting, and it could feel like it's pushing you off your balance. You're walking straight up until then.
Right.
And now this feels very disruptive, and how to be able to look at the person past the way that they are disruptive. I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So this being balanced all the time with all these different energies, like how do you protect yourself from absorbing it? Like I have this bit of a picture like a sponge when I think of the word absorb, and when I think about how you can be pushed off of balance, like I even have a picture of, you know, where we used to walk around in a playground on top of the sandbox edge. If you got really fast, you could show off a little bit that you could add speed to this and agility, and perhaps you'd balance on one foot or something like that. And then if somebody else was just coming along and running through or jumping in front of your path, or suddenly they were wanting to walk in the other direction, and these types of things happen in relationships or in encounters wherever you go.
You're right. I mean, we can have that physical metaphor where it's like, oh, how do you cope with another person's push or pull on you? I remember talking to a person who was in theater, and they would actually do exercises where they would put their hands up against another person's hands. They'd be sitting facing each other, and they'd put their hands together, and they would be pushing back and forth. I forget exactly how it worked, but it was that process of being able to communicate just by, I mean, in that case, quite literally just through energy, the energy that they were kind of pushing back and forth on each other. I mean, we're not doing that typically with people, but we are doing that in other ways, right? We're doing that through the way that we speak, our agitation in our bodies, or our stiffness, or the way that we're relaxed in each other's presence. We're communicating a lot just by our presence and being able to pick up on that. And I think you're right, like, how do you cope with somebody else's push on you? Are you absorbing it, or is it becoming overwhelming for you? Are you being pushed off balance? Are you able to remain stable in the presence of somebody else's instability? And that's a real challenge.
You would have had to have learned how to put that into practice as a therapist. That was something that you would have received training for, on how to balance a room. And I'm curious about what comes to mind with your training, perhaps, what you might have been told and how you might be able to help understand how people can bring balance to a situation just by what you've had to learn.
Sure, I could talk about that a little bit. I mean, one of the places where it's more obvious is in group therapy. That's where it really gets dynamic, or couples counseling. You've got more things happening. It's not just you with one other person pushing back and forth, but it's a whole dynamic of kind of chaos happening around you of people who are all struggling with something. Now, the first thing that kind of is helpful in this is to see the push potentially as not being harmful, but as being part of the process. So if somebody pushes against you, you could become upset because now you're not doing it right. You're not healing. You're not, you know, behaving properly. And you're frustrating me because those aren't the rules. You're supposed to just listen to me. You're just supposed to be at peace. You're just supposed to be making insights or getting better. And right now you're resisting me. So one of the typical phrases that's given out in therapy is rolling with resistance. So when somebody gives you resistance in some form, the idea is to roll with it, is to kind of become malleable and to kind of see it as maybe an assessment, like, oh, okay, this is where that person's at. So it's all helpful. It's always helpful because it helps to teach you about where this other person is. They're showing themselves to you. It's like, oh, you're disturbed by that idea. You're disturbed by the process that I suggested, or you're disturbed by the thing you just shared and being vulnerable. And so to see everything as helpful and informative, and then instead of becoming offended yourself, but to being, oh, like, how do I use this? How do I roll with this? How does this inform my next approach with this person? So that would be the first one, is just to see it as helpful in the moment.
That. Becoming curious about them and taking your eyes off of the offense that it might be creating.
Right.
But to be sincerely curious, but that would also mean you'd need to care.
Yes. Yeah.
And you might only be in the position to care for yourself. So that would take a bold move emotionally to separate your own feelings. I had this idea when I talked about absorbing that it would be like that you are a sponge. We often see ourselves that way, and we live that way a lot of the time, but that you may be removing this sponge from your body and putting it beside you instead. Mm-hmm. And so if the other energy is happening where it would feel like an attack, that you could see it going into that sponge, but it's separate from you, so that you can still observe it as something rather than being attacked by it. And then you can perhaps have compassion for the person who's going into that against that poor sponge that's not you.
It's like, it's not personal. This is just a thing that you're doing. And I can kind of calculate and see and be aware of how you're reacting to me. I mean, I love the sponge idea. It's particularly important. I mean, you can be disrupted, destabilized by somebody just being emotional about themselves, or maybe you're triggered because their emotions are similar to your own or your experience is similar. But one of the more difficult ones is when somebody actually attempts to not hit the sponge on the table, like in your metaphor, but actually attempts to hit you. Now, I'm not talking typically about physical violence, although that's there too, but actually like emotional. So if somebody was to come to me and be like, Cyrus, you're a bad therapist, you know, like they are criticizing me in some way in a session, you know, where I'm being a therapist. And so now they have awareness of how I am as a therapist, so they can actually criticize it. And they're like, you're a bad therapist, you missed this, or you hurt me in this way. I remember when I supervised therapists and they have an experience like this, and talking them through it, because oftentimes new therapists are a little bit more likely to take it personally. They're a little bit less sure of themselves. And there's a potential, of course, that they made a mistake and weren't the best therapist in that moment. But more often, it's actually not that they're a bad therapist. More often, it's actually something about that person, right? And but that's the more difficult thing. That's the most difficult thing, is like when somebody says something about you and they're directing it at you, they're aiming it at you, and then to still say, yeah, actually, this is saying more about you than it is about me. And so I'm not saying to avoid responsibility or to not be introspective. Of course, be accountable, be introspective, watch yourself. Try to find the truth. If there's truth there, try to find it. But also be aware that most of the time when people come and attack us as therapists, they've also attacked many other therapists. They've also brought up complaints about many other things in their life. And that's their way of coping. It's their way of dealing with the stress in their life. They might have expectations that are just kind of way too high for what therapy can provide. And they may just be generally depressed, and aggression is their way of kind of taking it out. So yeah, allowing it to say something about that person is so important, as hard as that is.
And we often close the door on that statement too, that happened, so that says more about you than about me, so this is not about me,
right? Yeah.
And I'm closed to anything else now because it's not about me.
Right.
But really, then if you're closed because it's not about you, then everything is about you. That's how you can separate this sponge from your life.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so important to still be able to look at it and be able to see both of those things, right? To say like, oh, this is maybe about you. Most of the people who come in here don't say I'm a bad therapist. Most of the people who come in here respond differently, even if they do feel like I'm a bad therapist. But there might be some truth to it. And to be able to watch that and to be like, oh, I mean, I love it when people are real, because then it's like, oh, now it's an opportunity to actually see into how I impact other people and how I come across and what I'm doing when I say certain things. And so that's so valuable. We need to be aware of those things.
We're often not aware of that until midnight after we've gone to sleep, and we start to realize and look at what our part was. And sometimes we're just rehearsing the other people's part. But to be able to take the responsibility and to be introspective and to have those quiet midnight moments where you can look at something objectively. Mm-hmm. You know, too bad it's making you miss your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's so true. And I mean, there's very practical things that you can do to practice this. I mean, typically, I think what you're describing is something that would fall under kind of a category of awareness, being aware. So if you want to practice putting other people's responses into like a sponge and to be aware of it, you can do that just by learning to be aware of life. And so you can sit down and you can be like I have a Kleenex here in front of me. So I could take it out of the box and I could just be like, I'm going to be just very aware of how this Kleenex feels in my hand as I kind of, you know, pull it across my hand. I'm just going to be really, I normally wouldn't think about it. our body's constantly feeling things that we're not aware of, like my jeans, how my jeans feel against my legs, or how the air feels against my skin, or how my shoes feel against my feet and the pressure of the floor. I'm not aware of those things most of the time, but now I can learn to do that and practice that just physically by pulling the Kleenex across my hand or eating something, and instead of just inhaling the cake, you can have like a bite of icing and you can just feel it on your tongue, and you can train your brain to actually take a step back, and instead of just being in reality, you can train it to be aware of reality, to be more sensitive. And you can do that spiritually. You can say like, okay, Lord, help me to be sensitive to you, like, and just slow down and actually just put your mind on a spiritual reality and be like, I'm waiting for a spiritual sensation from you. And it's amazing how so many times where you don't even realize that there's something to be aware of, there is something there.
Yeah.
And if you do this regularly, you know, let's say you do it spiritually, let's say you do it physically, you're just becoming aware of your feelings, you will be able to have somebody say something to you and be more aware of their energy, their emotions, their presence, and you'll be able to take a step back from it, like with the sponge metaphor, and just be able to watch it a little bit more easily, just like you did with the Kleenex, just like you did with God. Your brain can practice that, and it's so important rather than just rushing through life.
This is developing spiritual sensitivity at its precious heart. When I think about my own journey where I've had unmet expectations, perhaps even where I've hoped for something that I thought was going to be God showing up in a way in my life, and felt a sense of disappointment because I didn't feel him, then I would go back and I'd be like, okay, but I know he is, whether I feel him or not. And then to be able to just separate in that moment, to have that utter awareness, for me, I had that as a simple question. It was like, as though God were asking, where are you? And my simple response was, here. Followed by, where am I?
Right.
And also, here. Is that enough? Yes. Is so simple, and it's all there is. And as soon as you're there, it takes a lot of the unmet expectations, disappointment, discouragement, pain of not feeling away.
Right.
That, to me, is the core of developing spiritual sensitivity, is to just know. He's always here.
That's beautiful. And I think as you kind of just are aware of that, I think that that gives you that stability as well. When you have an awareness, when you're grounded that way. I mean, people talk about grounding by like touching your chair, or grounding by like feeling your feet on the ground. But you can be grounded spiritually. Just be like, you know what, I know what's happening in this moment, but I'm also just aware of God, and God's here with me. And that's very stabilizing when somebody else is kind of pushing and pulling.
Because it is all there is, and as soon as you find that stillness, then when you're experiencing that pushing and pulling, it becomes less important, less traumatic, and you can roll with it. Like, I loved the way you described that, too, is just to be able to, what was the word you used?
Roll with resistance.
Roll with resistance.
Yes, yeah.
Because then it doesn't even feel like resistance, and it doesn't feel like you if the sponge is beside you.
Right.
And I think that that's just so important, and not that you don't need to deal with feelings and emotions. They're going to come and they're going to rise, but you'll find the quality of the relationship is built, acquaintance, or somebody that you're meeting in a shop, and somebody who's just meeting with an energy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, thank you, Cyrus.
Thank you, Maria.
oceans deep, my faith will stand.
My faith would be made stronger in the presence.
That was an honor to get to spend that time with you. Appreciate you tuning in. Please check out more of Dr. Cyrus at maplecrestchurch.ca and at drcyrusdirksen.com. Thanks again, and tune in next time for Bridging the Gap.
CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Listener-driven radio.